It's incredible to be here and express Hakar Satov to Yeshiva, to our creditor, for organizing this. This opportunity to think together, to share the Torah together, to think together a little bit. This Shabbos is often referred to Shabbos Parshas Peshalach. It's often referred to as Shabbos Shira. And on one level, on the most obvious level, is because the Shira was Yashir. Yisrael and I had the opportunity today, actually, earlier today, to meet a woman named Shira, who maybe captured for us a different aspect of part of the dynamic of Parshas Peshalach, how Parshas Peshalach follows, is the first step after Parshas Bo, and how it, in a certain sense, makes Parshas Bo practical in our lives. We had the opportunity this morning to meet a woman named Shira, who would not describe herself as Datia, and yet has more emuna than anyone I've met in a very long time. A woman who speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in very authentic, real ways. A woman who is Moseres Nefesh to farm Eretz Yisrael and to keep Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz. And the way she speaks is Davar Pasha. She should be careful about Orla Netzravai. Davar Pasha, they're going to figure out how to handle Shemitah on the farm. And the truth is, already a beginning of Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz, something along the lines of Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz, agricultural mitzvahs, in Parshas Peshalach. There's already an allusion to it. Klal Yisrael at this point, they're very far from Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be, at that point, they think months. Ultimately, we discover in hindsight 40 years before they get to Eretz Yisrael. And yet, the most practical Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz for a Jew who is in Chutz La'aretz is already very much connected to one of the stories in Parshas Peshalach. Where are any of the mitzvot Tluyos Ba'aretz, or along the lines of mitzvot Tluyos Ba'aretz, hinted at? So the major episode in Parshas Peshalach, of course, is Kriyas Yamsuf and Az Yashir. But it's not the only episode in Parshas Peshalach. The Torah tells us, Klal Yisrael are in the desert, and they brought some supplies with them, but eventually, if the hike is long enough, you run out of food. And where's the food going to come from? And you have in this week's parsha, the Torah describes the man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do a nace every day, day in, day out, for 40 years. You walk outside in the morning, and there's a delivery. Long before Amazon drones, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 1,000 years before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would drop the food. Every day you come out in the morning, and you get your food. Lechem min hashamayim. Lechem min hashamayim. And then at the very end of the parsha, the Torah describes this nes, it came packaged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pesukim describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu put down a layer of dew, and then the man, and then another layer of dew, packaged food. The Gemara describes, based on the Pesukim, you got per person, you knew how many people were in the family, because that's the amount of man that fell, the right number of portions per person. And then the Torah stresses at the very end of that description, Omer Asira Seifo, how much would fall? Everyone would get an Omer, a very rare measurement. Everyone got an omer of man. The Torah at the end tells you, by the way, if you're wondering how much an omer is, it's a tenth of an epha. A description in terms that were, if we were conversant with the measurements of those days, so that would mean a lot. A tenth of an epha. An epha happens to be 432 kibbutzim. So an omer is 43 and a fifth kibbutzim. Why does it matter to you and I? It can come up all the time. It comes up every single day. Anywhere that anyone is big. Because fast forward to Parsha from Bishalach to Shalach, the Torah tells us, this is after Klal Yisrael find out that they're not getting to Eretz Yisrael so quickly. The chet, there was one chet after another chet, and finally the spiral ends with the chet HaMeraglim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's going to be 40 years before they get into Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael very down, very incredibly down. Who knows, and maybe our children are going to do a chet, they're not going to get into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to give you a few mitzvahs. You're not getting just yet, but don't worry. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to keep these mitzvahs. And one of those mitzvahs is the mitzvah of Hafrashos Challah. Torah says there, Kisavo la'aretz, you'll come into Eretz Yisrael, b'cholcham ilachem ha'aretz. You're going to begin to eat bread from the ground. You'll come into Eretz Yisrael. Eventually, you'll start farming, you'll start growing wheat and barley, you start making your own bread from your farming. You have a mitzvah for Shas Chala. You put together, you have enough flour, you make dough. Before you bake it, you're going to take off a bit of that dough. That's the matah, that's the present to the Kohen. Reish Sarisa Seichem, you take off a bit of your dough, and that goes as a not going to give it directly to Kodesh Baruch. Kodesh Baruch wants you to give it to the Kohen, and that's the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala. Beautiful mitzvah, but a little bit mysterious. A lot of stress, number one, about when you come into Eretz Yisrael, we eat the bread of Eretz Yisrael, the bread of the ground. What's that all about? And how much? So if I make one cookie, I make one lachmania after Hafrashas Chala, how much dough? So maybe you've heard, if you bake, you've been around people who bake, not just eating what they make, but if you're around when they're doing the baking, you might have heard that there's a minimum amount of dough you need to have, minimum shear that you need. If you make enough dough, enough flour, 17 cups, 10 cups, you have enough flour in the dough, then there's already a chiyuv hafrashas challah. Where did that shear come from? Where did that shear come from? So I'll give you a little hint. Because the shach and Yerodeah, he wants to help you remember what the shear challah is. He says, oh, the shear challah is 43 kebetzim. So if you want to remember it, the gematria of challah, ches and lamed and hay, is 43. 43 and a fifth kebetzim, that's the shear hafrashas challah. Have you heard that number recently? Because the gematria is not the reason why. The gematria is a cute way to help you remember. But the reason why the shear is 43 beitzim is not because the gematria is challah. It's because... the tenth of an eifa. Because the Torah says, very good, the tenth of an eifa before was the shear for what? In this week's parasha, it's the amount of man that fell per person every day. So the Torah in parashas Shalach, and talking about the mitzvah of hafrashas challah, it says, Reishis ariso seichem. You're going to take a ratio of your dough. Why your dough? As opposed to his dough or her dough and your dough. Who else are we talking to? So Chazal understands, who are we talking to? We're talking about the Jews at that point who are still living in the Midbar. The Jews who are still Ochle Haman. And the Torah says, this: when you create Lechem in Haaretz, that's the same amount as when you get Lechem in HaShamayim right now, that's when you have Chiyuv HaFrashas Challah. So a good friend of mine, Rabbi Zevi Reichman Shlita, a colleague now in the yeshiva. We were together in the kol once upon a time. Now we're actually a colleague in the yeshiva. So he suggested many, many years ago, we learned Zeron together, that there's something at play here. Now that's not just a detail. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was saying to the Jews in the Midbar, the Jews who are living off of the most obvious matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could not escape. But notice, in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of you in incredibly obvious ways. Every single morning, you walk out your door, the door to your tent, and there's breakfast, lunch, and supper. Fell from Shamayim. Lechem en HaShamayim. So you can't but notice that Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of it. The Rav Shalom says, right now, Yad Hashem could not be more obvious. It's not always going to be that way. Look, the other sages in Jewish history, the vast majority of Jewish history, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're ready for a little more distance, and you're ready to be a little more independent, and you're ready for the challenge of noticing me and knowing that I'm there even when I'm less obvious. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. When you're eating, rather than lechem and hashamayim, obviously from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it'll be lechem ha'aretz. It'll be the bread of the ground. In other words, how to get from the ground to the table? The 11 malachas is due to the pas. I worked. I plowed and I planted and I harvested and And I ground it, and here's my flour, and I kneaded it, and I baked it. I made this bread. When it's not going to be as obvious as it once was, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of me, b'chochem ilachem ha'aretz, when you've switched from lechem in HaShamayim to lechem in ha'aretz, you have a mitzvah to remember to connect the natural, normal, my bread to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bread. To remember, even when it's ma'asa yada, even when I put in all that work, it was still from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Efforts are on me, but results are still on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to remember that. When you get into Eretz Yisrael, I won't be as obvious. You're going to have a mitzvah to connect your bread through the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah back to man. To remember that this is as much from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the man is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not as obviously so, but as deeply so, and as authentically so. To be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when he's in obvious. That's the essence of almost all the mitzvot tlius ba'aretz. the term reishis arisa seichem, to take the first of your dough, which is the same terminology the Torah uses when a farmer is harvesting wheat or peppers or oranges, whatever it is, and he takes off trumos, he takes off truma and truma's master, the same term, reishis. Because that's meant to, once again, you take off the beginning. I worked so hard. It's so easy to fall into the illusion of thinking that if I worked so hard and I got results, it was all me. As opposed to noticing that, yes, I had to work hard. Ultimately, it's HaKadosh Baruch who guided, who took me from work to result. Every time you have a mitzvah of reishis, that means you're remembering as if you're about to enjoy whatever it is you produced, set aside something HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember that this was all from the Ribono Shel Olam. And how does this take us from Parashas Bo to beyond and to everyday life? So there's a fascinating comment of the Rambam. Perhaps you had a chance to learn it last week. It's perhaps one of the most famous comments of the Rambam on the Torah at the very end of Parashas Bo. And it's not just the end of Parashas Bo, but it's the end of the whole Parashat Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Parashat Yetzias Mitzrayim began the end of Shemos when Moshe Rabbeinu was beginning to be sent to Paro. You remember that initially looked like a terrible failure at the end of Parsha Shmos. Then of course of Va'era, seven Makos, of course of Bo, another three Makos. And then Bo is the end of Makos and really the beginning of Mitzos. The beginning of Kadosh Baruch Hu giving Mitzos to Klal Yisrael. And the Rabban speaks about that transition and that connection. The Rabban says, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us so many different mitzvahs on Pesach and throughout the year. Tefillin, mezuzah, Pirin HaBen, and so on and so forth. All these mitzvahs are meant to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what's the point of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's so important about remembering that particular event in Jewish history? There are a lot of great events in Jewish history. What are some mitzvahs to help us remember Yetzias Mitzrayim in particular? Anyone see this Ramban? He says, okay, you got to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. You got to remember a lot of stories. Rabban says, no, you understand. He says, let me ask you another question. He doesn't really ask it, but it's there. He says, why were there so many Makos? 10 Makos. What was the point of the Makos? To get the Jews out of Mitzrayim, right? So that means, but which Makah actually got the Jews out of Mitzrayim? Makos B'choros. Did the first 9 get them out of Mitzrayim? Doesn't look like it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was batting 100.
That's not a very exciting day in average.
Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachal. He's a Mirpin. The Kadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants. So it took him 10 Makos to get it right? What? Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't get them out more quickly? So it could certainly be a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Paro the Bechir Chafshus. Paro could have said yes and he chose not to. Okay. And maybe to an extent he was wearing Paro down, and it was a process. And the earlier steps, you don't always get success right away. You got to work and work and work. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu was allowing Paro to chipping away at Paro till he finally let go. But the Ramban said there's something, and it's also true that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu Brisben Absarim Gamas Agoyishar Avodar Anochi. Hashem had promised Avraham Avinu that there would be an onesh for the Mitzrim, and the Makos certainly were that onesh. But there's more. Rabban says, if you read the psukim in Va'era and Bo, we're so used to those psukim, we just sort of cruise through them. And there are these phrases that just sort of blend in until you notice the word lema'an. So that, the word lema'an appears again and again and again throughout the Makos. HaKadosh Baruch keeps telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm bringing this Makos so that. Oh, there you go. There's the purpose of the Makos. How those lema'ans always go? Laman teda, laman. It's always, I want you to know, the makas were coming not just to impact the mitzvah. The makas were an exercise in chinuch. The makas were chinuch in amuna. Rabban says, if you actually read the psukim in Va'erim Bo with open eyes, it keeps saying, I'm bringing this makas so that you'll know that I'm here. I'm bringing this makas so you'll know that I know what's going on. I'm bringing this makas so that you'll know that I'm involved in your lives. And Rabban says, sometimes people don't realize that there's a God. Sometimes they know there's a God, but they don't realize that God, he's out there, he doesn't know what's going on in this world. Or he knows, but he doesn't care, he's not involved. Rabban says, no, that's not true. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrate the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim with all the makas that preceded it, that he's there, and he's here, and he knows, and he cares, and he's actively involved in our lives. He cares about the trajectory of each of our lives, And that became clearest at Makas Becharos, where there was, as we say at the Seder, Kadosh Baruch Hu was personalizing this house, yes, and that house not. Poseach, that's why it's called Pesach. Kadosh Baruch Hu was jumping over, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was personalizing. Everyone got what was coming to them. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows and cares and manages and is involved. Those were the lessons of Emunah that Kadosh Baruch Hu was making evident and obvious at time Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Rabban says, and that's why we have so many mitzvahs on Pesach and throughout the year. Mitzvahs which are adios, mitzvahs who are meant to help us keep alive the memories and the sense of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not just because it's an important historical event and that's when we became Am Yisrael. Not just that. Not just to remember the story, but to remember the lessons in Emunah that we learned through the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Wow. Rabban says, we could stop right here, and that's beautiful, right? Gevaldik Pshat, you see all the lemans and the makos, and then you have this whole slew of mitzvahs. So the Rabban says, great, you put all the pieces together. The makos weren't just what they did to the mitzvah. The makos were 10 lessons, 10 exercises in chinuch and emunah, gevaldik. But then the Rabban says, there's one more step. And that step will bring us back to man and challah and taking this and moving forward. Because Rabban says, we could stop right here, but that would be a shame. Because he says, that's not the pinnacle. This sounds great. It sounds like we've crested. We're at the peak of the mountain. Right? We've summited. Makas, Emunah, Yisya, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Gevali. Rabban says, that's the summit of the shorter mountain. But there's a taller mountain to scale. Because Rabban says, in very, very, it's worth opening, over the course of tonight, open Rabban's the last few lines in Parashas Bo, Kedai to see this inside. Rabban says, you saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the great rare moments, the razzle-dazzle moments of Nisim Guluim, open miracles, Makos and Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsov. That's great, but that's not the height of being a Jew. The highest level of being a Jew, being an Oved Hashem, is not to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the rare, amazing moments, the moments of greatest inspiration. He says, Mitoch, from noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those rare moments of open miracles, a Jew can come to then notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Nisim Nistar. To notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way he's involved in the everyday, in our everyday lives. Hidden miracles. Yeah. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the everyday in ways that are less obvious and far more important. Rabban says, that's real Avodas Hashem. It's a much higher level of being Avodas Hashem. It's not just notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the great, rare, razzle-dazzle moments. That's a step. Notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, I can try to leverage that and to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the everyday. And that brings us back here, because that's exactly that. What the Ramban is saying is that the work of Shemos Va'eirim Bo is not to end there, but to take it forward. To take Yetzias Mitzrayim with you. To take those lessons with you, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the everyday. And that's exactly the relationship between the man and Farshas Challah. In the Midbar, Klal Yisrael saw Ribono Shel Olam every day, so obviously. When you have those that type of clarity, you're meant to package it, absorb it, and then take it with you going forward. To take those, Ba'cholcha Milacha Ma'aretz, to be able to see even in the everyday things, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lives in the less obvious moments too. And that's one of the things we saw from Shira this morning. To see a person who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a davar pashat there. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in her life without seeing Nisim. And she was mitmodedet. What happened the 7 years ago? They did keep Shemitah totally. They just let the farm sit there. So they put out advertisements. Everyone should come and harvest their own olives, and the field suffered terribly because there were nearly enough people coming. All the olives fell to the ground and it ruined the soil, and she was working on it. But I have a pasuk. Unbelievable to hear. I have a pasuk. And then she worked it through. She worked through the sugya. She realized, why do I assume that the bracha is going to come the way I expected? I thought the bracha would come in a certain way. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his own cheshbonos, and indeed, over the next couple of years, she said, she discovered bracha in her lives. They've discovered bracha in their lives in ways that they did not expect. I'll leave you with this. I'll leave you with a final thought. To take this idea and bring it back to the part of Shabbos that we usually think about when we talk about Shabbos Shira. Rav Zevin points out, Shlomo Yosef Zevin, one of the great tzaddikim Yerushalayim in the latter half of the 20th century. He was, if you haven't come across this forum yet, it's Kedai. They're incredibly enriching. He was a Talmud Chacham of the First Water, who the entire Encyclopedia Talmudis came together in his head. He sketched out, before computers, a piece of paper, what the entire encyclopedia of all Torah Shabbat would look like, wrote out the framework for all of it, and they're still working on it. They're up to 40 volumes they haven't finished yet. It was all laid out in his mind. A man of unusual learning, unusual ruchnius. He's a Lubavitcher Chassid, and I was so amazed that he wrote the Encyclopedia Talmudis and Sipuri Chassidim, all sorts of genres. He's very, very multi-dimensional Talmud Chacham. So in his drushes, which are very much Chabad oriented, Latorah L'Moedim, points to the following medrash. I leave you this medrash. Shmos Rabba, this week's parsha, says Moshe Rabbeinu did a chet in Parsha Shmos, and he repaired it in Parsha B'Shalach. What was the chet? What was the repair? The Medrash says it was the same word. Chata ba'az v'tikein ba'az. He sinned through the word az, so he fixed it with the word az. Where was the sin? Where was the repair? So that we expect the repair is az yashir. And the sin, at the end of Parsha Shmos, the Moshe Rabbeinu comes, you remember we said, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro at the end of Parsha Shmos, at first it looks like it's a terrible failure. Me az basi el Paro, Moshe says, Ribono Shel Olam, from the moment I came to Paro, it's only gotten worse. Why did you send me? I wanted to stay in Midian. You insisted I come back, and I came back, and I spoke to Paro, and it's so painful. He's squeezing the Jews even more. So that was a chet that he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way, says the Medrash. So the tikkun was az yashir. Sounds nice. Heads are nodding. But what on earth does that Medrash mean? What was one of the, because it was the same word. If he would have used different words, he would have to use a different word for az yashir. It's more than just, it happens to be the same word. How is this? What's the chet? What's the tikkun? What's the connection? So Rav Zevin says, of course, it's more profound than that. It's much more sophisticated than that. What does the word az mean? Oz means then. When is then? Any time but now. Then can be past or then can be future. Then means not now. So he says, that captures the chet and that captures the essence of the tikkun. Oz basi al par. What was the chet? It wasn't the used word oz, obviously. The chet was that Moshe Rabbeinu was just looking at the here and now. He went to Paro, the immediate reaction was, things got worse. In the end, in retrospect, with a little bit of perspective, that was the beginning of the fix. The way the Midrashim described, should have been 400 years, but because of the Koshi Hashiva, because the Shiva got so bad, they were Yotzei there 400 years more rapidly, in only 210 years. So in retrospect, the Jews were helped by that squeeze. It wasn't apparent at the time. The chet of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he was just looking at the here and now. He wasn't putting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Maaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu into bigger perspective. Oz Yashir Moshe was the response to that, because as the Gemara points out, the Shiv said Oz Shar, then he sang. Why Oz Yashir, then he will sing? Gemara says Mikar Remez Utchias Samesim. In Oz Yashir, he's already giving a sense, not only that now I understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been up to until now, but now I'm also looking beyond the here and now. Now we're already seeing there's a whole swath of Jewish history to come, and putting now in the perspective of tomorrow. To be able to see beyond this little bit, to be able to put things in a bigger perspective, that's the goal of Az Yashir. To be able to take here and leverage it forward. To notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions, and to be able to see what I expect, I know that in the future things will make more sense, and I know that in the future I'm going to take the inspiration of the moment and build it into the way I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life in the everyday. Rabbi say, thank you so much for this opportunity. Should continue to grow, should continue to steig here and beyond. Yeah.